dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio, where we wage the war of ideas on your behalf and with some of the best in the business. In fact, we're going to start with not one but two segments with Gary Bernstein, a man who has distinguished himself in the service of his country in very dangerous circumstances as an operative for the Central Intelligence Agency, including playing a decisive role in the liberation of Afghanistan. And we'll be talking with Gary about both some of his experiences and some of his insights into what is going on there now and what are the stakes for us. We'll also talk with Gary a little bit closer to home. He's running on the Republican line in the Senate race in New York State, and we'll be visiting with him a little bit about some of the issues that are very much germane to the people of New York and their security, most especially, and through with them a prism into his thinking on what American policy should be here at home to secure us all. Following Gary Bernstein, we'll be talking with Nir Bahms, co-author of a very important piece in the Wall Street Journal online yesterday, talking about Iran and the bizarre, not to say outrageous, idea that it will now become an arbiter of how women should be treated around the world. What is going on? What does it portend? With Nir Bahms from cyberdissidents.org. And then finally, in segment four, we'll be talking with Daniel Blumberg. He was a litigator with the highly esteemed outfit Alliance Defense Fund, and he'll be shedding some light on the chaplains' dilemma that is about to unfold if indeed the United States Senate goes along with the House of Representatives in agreeing to the repeal of the prohibition on avowed homosexuals serving in the United States military. Will chaplains be forced to choose between their religious faith and practice and their duty to the military? And what does that portend for the larger condition of the all-volunteer force? Will it result, among other things, in the breakage of the only military we have? So all of that lies ahead in this edition of Secure Freedom Radio. But first, let us welcome Gary Bernstein to our microphones once again. Gary, great to have you back here at Secure Freedom Radio. Congratulations on your new gig.
Thank you. Pleasure, Mr. Gaffney, for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Well, it's indeed my pleasure. Look, let's start with Afghanistan. You have written a marvelous account of your experiences in Jawbreaker, the attack on bin Laden and al-Qaeda. From the vantage point of someone who was instrumental to the successful liberation of Afghanistan, what is your current assessment, Gary Bernstein, of what's happening on the ground there and the stakes for the United States?
Well, of course, we've increased the number of forces in Afghanistan significantly. There's been the increase in last year of up to 30,000 troops, most of them down south, and it looks like we're getting ready for a push on the city of Kandahar. U.S. forces in the area have been outside the city. Most people don't realize this. Most of them are at Kandahar Airfield, northwest of the city, and we are now making an effort to sort of get in and try to recapture that city. We've had all the other major cities in the country in the hands of the coalition, more or less, except for Kandahar. Kandahar was the historical capital of the Taliban. And
Gary, forgive me for interrupting, but let me ask you, the reports that we have seen indicate that General McChrystal is now pushing off into the fall, perhaps, if not longer, the idea of a push, as you put it. He doesn't want to use the term offensive because of evidently difficulties with Hamid Karzai's brother and other tribal leaders in Kandahar. Is that something different than what you're hearing?
Yes, it is something different than what I'm hearing. Essentially, we'll be, the U.S. forces will be inserting, you know, some battalions inside the city or in the edges of the city. They'll be moving. It won't be an all-out invasion of the city. It will be a gradual effort where we go, you know, sector by sector in the city as they attempt to push them out and seize control, almost, you know, a combination of military movement and community policing as they try to establish some control over this. There are large numbers of hostile forces inside the city, and so they're going to be doing this deliberately and in a manner which I think they're attempting to sort of, you know, make sure that we don't have a significant number of U.S. casualties as they do this. They're going to be doing it, you know, more deliberately. It's not going to look like the seizure of Fallujah in Iraq. It'll be a more deliberate, slower offensive there.
And does this also contrast with the experience of liberating Marja, another city in Afghanistan that was in Taliban hands?
I think it'll be a lot like that, but you have to understand something. Marja was a lot smaller. Yeah. Kandahar is a larger city of, you know, almost a million people.
Right.
So the task is larger, and there are entire neighborhoods in Kandahar that are arms depots and training areas for the enemy. So it will be a more complicated task. You know, the Taliban never really had much of an interest in Kabul or in the north. Mm-hmm. Kandahar was their home, and this is going to be a long, arduous effort there in the south. Yeah. But, you know, as far as it goes for my overall view of issues there, you know, Afghanistan waxes and wanes. There have been some issues there. You know, recently the president of Afghanistan leave both his chief of the intelligence service and the head of the Ministry of Interior, which were probably the most well thought of members of his cabinet in terms of U.S. support. Hmm. So that was kind of disturbing that he would fire Amirullah Saleh and Mohammed Hanif Atmar on the same day. They haven't been replaced yet, and you know, this is a larger issue. These are people who were well thought of in the U.S., and it addresses a larger issue there, and that is the fact that the influence of Hizb-e Islami, that's Gulbuddin Hekmatyar's people, have increased politically, you know, within Kabul politically. And Karzai is of course working closely with the U.S., but he's hedging his bets and keeping open a dialogue with certain militant organizations.
Yeah, we're talking with Gary Bernstein, who has distinguished himself in previous incarnation with the CIA, notably involved in the operation that led to the overthrow of the Taliban in Afghanistan, an account of which he has provided us in a marvelous book, Jawbreaker, The Attack on Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. Gary is also currently a candidate for the United States Senate in New York State, and we will be talking with him in a moment about that. When we come back, Gary, though, I want to pick up on something you just touched on, which is Hamid Karzai hedging his bets and the stakes for us that have now grown enormously as a result of the find of apparently up to $1 trillion worth of very valuable minerals in the ground under our troops in Afghanistan. We'll come back in just a moment for more of Secure Freedom Radio with Gary Bernstein on Afghanistan, on the Sharia team in our own country, and what we should be doing about both. Straight ahead.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at securefreedomradio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Gold, 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 everywhere you turn, radio, TV, all the headlines. For over a decade, I've done my best to explain why gold is the best asset for you to own. Prices may double or triple again. Gold rises every time public confidence in government and the paper dollar falls. Well, here we are. Unless the government stops burying us in debt, gold prices could continue to rise higher and higher. So do yourself a favor. I use Swiss America, and I suggest you call them too. You need professional advice. You need to trust the folks you buy your gold from, and you can trust Swiss America. I do.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Ask for my Rare Opportunity DVD, Gold IRA Kit, all free.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always had to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are visiting once again here at Secure Freedom Radio with Gary Brinston. He is a member of the Alumni Association of the Central Intelligence Agency, a man of considerable accomplishment in the service to his country there, and now a candidate for the United States Senate. We're going to come to his race against Chuck Schumer, the Democrat incumbent, in a moment. But, Gary, just to finish this thought on Afghanistan, in recent days, there have been reports that the United States has discovered enormous mineral wealth under the otherwise impoverished country of Afghanistan. How does that finding alter, if at all, or at least increase the stakes of the kind of struggle that you played such an instrumental role in kicking off and that is playing out, as we've just been discussing, in high drama in Kandahar and elsewhere at the moment?
Well, it clearly provides a bit of hope economically for the Afghans and additional incentive for the U.S., of course, to assist them in maintaining security there. The largest find, of course, and the most important mineral that they have found is lithium, and they have found that in Ghazni, which is actually within striking distance of the capital. You know, some people I've heard people yesterday on television being questioned on this, thought that this doesn't, you know, sort of this isn't a game changer, but I think it is a game changer in many ways because it will provide an incentive for major corporations, and they should be U.S. corporations, that will be involved out there in trying to assist the Afghans in extracting that will serve, you know, several different goals. A, to assist the Afghans, and B, we need these minerals, lithium, for instance, if we're going to be sort of moving our economy toward more vehicles with batteries, more of that sort of technology, and lithium is a critical component of that. It is incredibly important. And this is something that we can assist in, and actually, given the cheap cost of labor there, you know, we can provide the security for that. Afghans can provide that in concert with U.S., you know, companies can do this. This, I think, is very, very doable. Some of the mining sites that are in the far west or in the south, I wouldn't be in such a hurry. But I think the lithium in Ghazni is very, very doable. The Chinese signed an agreement to extract from INAC, which is down in Logar province, and you know, they've got the agreement. They haven't made much progress, but I think, and it's not far from Ghazni, I think that securing Logar and Ghazni are already underway, should be underway, should be able to, you know, complete that in the near future, and we should be able to move on those things.
Yeah. Take one more minute on this, Gary. You've mentioned the Chinese are in. There have been reports that U.S. military personnel are now protecting the Chinese efforts to extract copper from Afghanistan. Are we likely to see, as a result of this, a new chapter in what has in the past been called the Great Game for Afghanistan, with, again, the stakes now being vastly higher as a result of these deposits of lithium and so many other minerals?
In the previous Great Game, of course, it was the Russians and the British. Now it, of course, is going to be the U.S. and the Chinese. Part of the issue with the contract with INAC was the outrage some people felt because they believed that the Minister of Mines received a $30 million kickback from the Chinese company. But the Chinese have not extracted any copper from INAC. It's a copper mine, which is probably a day's drive south of the capital. Part of the reasons the Chinese offer was attractive is that they included in their bid the fact that they were going to build a rail line into Afghanistan linking it to China, which doesn't exist right now. Yeah. So that was part of, but that plays into your whole concept of the Great Game. But the U.S., and we need to make sure that U.S. companies have a piece of this that we can get some return on the blood and treasure that we've spent in Afghanistan. We didn't go in there for economic reasons, but since there is some economic gain to be had, we need to make sure that the U.S. economy does benefit from this.
Yeah, I very much agree.
Thinking about jobs in the U.S. And our economy. It's got to be premier in our thoughts.
Yeah. We're talking with Gary Bernstein, member of the, in the past, the covert operatives of the Central Intelligence Agency, now a candidate for the United States Senate. Let's swing to your Senate race, Gary. In New York State at the moment, there are some very topical issues that are directly in this space, or portfolio, if you will, of the Secure Freedom Radio. One is the idea of building what I think of as a shrine to Sharia at Ground Zero. Another is the prospect of bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the man who was responsible most immediately for creating the hallowed ground at Ground Zero. And not least, a trial that's now been suspended, as I understand it, in Newburgh, New York, of several individuals who were charged with trying to bomb Bronx synagogues and shoot down military planes. The judge there is apparently miffed at the prosecutors for not sharing information and is thinking about giving bail to these alleged terrorists. What's your view as a candidate and as a citizen of New York State about such developments, and what would voters be looking for from you?
Well, first off, the basis of my candidacy for the United States Senate in New York is one of security, economic security, national security, homeland security. And these issues that you just spoke of all play right into sort of, you know, my expertise. I recognize, as you do, that the and as you've stated, the mosque that that individuals plan to put up across from 9/11 is a controversial issue. I see it as a problem. It'll present itself as a security problem in New York, because one thing that the Islamic community in the United States has not done very well, it has not policed its mosques very well, and many of these mosques have been infiltrated by those planning to do us harm. So this is a significant problem. I say that also at the same time knowing that many, many Muslim Americans have stood and fought with us and are wonderful, patriotic Americans. There are thousands of those individuals working as translators right now for us, you know, in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yep.
And I'm grateful to them for their service. But as you stated, the mosque across from the 9/11 memorial is a problem, and I do not support it being placed there. And my concern are with the individual who is leading this effort. He has made a number of statements that indicated that the U.S. brought 9/11, you know, on itself, mm-hmm. with some of its policy actions, and I'm not happy with his statements at all. They're not accurate. They're sort of ridiculous.
Well, and more to the point, Gary, if I may, he has explicitly said it is his purpose and that of the mosque that he proposes to build at Ground Zero to promote Sharia in America.
Yeah,
this ideology that is very much at odds with our Constitution and country. Tell us a little bit quickly in the remaining minute or so we have with you about your view of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and these terrorists being tried here. Homeland Security is uppermost in your mind. Is this a problem?
Yeah, I think it's a problem, and I've stated publicly that I wanted to see Khalid Sheikh Mohammed remain in military tribunals. Actually, those tribunals were ready to go when President Obama decided to move them to civilian courts.
Yep.
And he has set this whole process back many years. He might wind up setting it back 3 or 4 years, something mm-hmm. that has taken an exorbitant amount of time, and now we're going to have another 3 or 4 years. I think it's we shouldn't be giving individuals or enemy combatants or terrorists the protections of the U.S. Constitution in terms of the Fifth Amendment. And that's my greatest concern for keeping them out of civilian courts. They should be facing military tribunals. And the other problem that you brought up on the Newberg issue is and other individuals here, Muslim Americans that are getting who are getting involved in jihadism. For many years, we did a very, very good job of making sure that individuals, Muslims and American, were integrated into American society completely. Those outside the country know this. They're targeting Muslim communities now, specifically targeting them to bring them against the U.S.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Gary Bernstein, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we've got to go. Please come back soon. Good luck with the race, and we'll be following you and your efforts very closely. Next up, Nir Bahms on Iran, the guide.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
The following commercial is sponsored by FeedThePig.org, an organization devoted to helping you save money. We will not entice you with messages like
lowest prices in town, dealer approved, certified pre-owned,
no obligation consultation,
nor will we brag about our
huge selection, enormous variety,
one-stop shopping,
everything under one roof,
or promise
prices reduced up to 75%.
A sale like this can't go on forever. Factory liquidation.
Financing options available.
We will offer no contingencies like
see store for details.
Prices and participation may vary.
Legal exclusions apply.
No purchase necessary.
Or try to convince you that our product will give you
leaner, tighter abs in minutes.
A perfect smile. Porcelain veneers.
Freedom from those painful, embarrassing bunions.
Because we simply want to help you spend smarter and save better. Log on to FeedThePig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Can I have a price check on aisle...
Ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back. We are joined for this segment of Secure Freedom Radio by Nir Bums, a longtime colleague and a valued friend who has been working for many years on a challenging problem, and that is trying to counter the threat that those who adhere to Sharia engage in, specifically towards the human rights of all that they have an ability to subject to their program. And specifically, I'm very pleased to say, Nir has written in the Wall Street Journal Online, together with his co-author, Shayan Arya, of the Constitutionalist Party of Iran, a most important essay published yesterday that talks about what it means that people who have this vision, this agenda, are now going to be among the arbiters of what is acceptable as a result of their membership of the UN's Commission on the Status of Women with respect to women and their human rights. So, Nir Bhams, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. It is great to have you with us, and congratulations on a very important piece.
Many thanks, Frank. It's good to be here.
Now, one of the things I was struck by in your essay was the contrast between how women were treated under the much reviled Shah of Iran and how they're treated today under the mullahs of Iran. Give us a sense of the transformation of roughly half of the population of Iran as a result of this this change of government.
Well, I think that the angle of women is particularly striking because the transformation of the Iranian society in relation to women has been really what can be described as black and white, literally. And it's just not about black and white, just in the sense of the color, because the women are just about allowed to wear just about black. Mm. We are looking at things like police that looks at the length of a given hill, not to mention, of course, the length of a given abaya, or what covers a woman's hair. I was making a note that in the last 3 months alone, over 87,000 women were arrested by the police. Not all of them were arrested and jailed. 71 of them, for example, were banned from travel on an airplane just because their hair covering, head covering, was not properly attached. Hmm. Under the Shah, of course, we're looking at a country that was fairly Western in the sense that we know it, fairly secular in the sense that we know it. Women were, of course, allowed to walk freely, drive freely, go about their business. Of course, following the Islamic Revolution in 1979, that's no longer the case. Women are not allowed to dress in the way that they like. Women are not allowed to work and pursue their careers. Women are just about banned from public life. And this is something that we've seen growing and growing. And also, this is one of the reasons why we've seen more and more women become more active in the ranks of the opposition.
Speaking of the opposition, where I wonder, given this idea, given the practice of the Iranian regime towards women, where are opponents of the mistreatment of women, the abuse of women, the demeaning of women in the West, in the face of now this real travesty of Iran becoming, as I say, a member of the UN Commission on the Status of Women? I've heard no outcry about this at all. Can you explain it?
Well, when I wrote a piece that was published, and I received a good number of responses, and a few of them were from women, colleagues, and friends who said, "Well, why do we need a man writing a piece about women in Iran? And where are the voices of the women?" But actually, I'm not the only voice. There are a number of women rights organizations, including a number of Iranian women's organizations. But I think the problem that the world is not looking at a good number of these issues, and the world not looking at human rights abuses overall, period. When it comes to Iran, we are looking at perhaps one of the most devastating threats that we have today, the nuclear issue, but yes, we forget that a certain ideology and a certain mindset really is the cause of that particular threat. And what we've, when you're looking at this issue of women, we can understand where other ideas come from. One of the frightening notions, and again that appeared also in the piece, is that we look at the comment coming from a relatively senior cleric saying that women are really the cause, the source of all evil, because of women who tempt men to improper behavior, we have things like earthquakes. And therefore, the answer to that is we have to be more strict about the way women dress, about their women's modesty, about other restrictions imposed upon women, because that's the only way to save and secure the world. And of course, when you're looking at a country that had seen a fair bit of a good number of earthquakes, you ask what's more important, the quote-unquote, ethical moral codes or the building codes that needs to be put in place in order for in the next earthquake not to have thousands and thousands of people being killed and losing their homes.
Yeah, you know, we've been treated in the aftermath of that outrageous statement by the senior cleric in Iran to the boob quake phenomenon, with women around the world using, including Facebook and Twitter, to expose more of their body parts than might otherwise have been seen, just to test the proposition. And we've not seen an outbreak of earthquakes, I'm happy to say, as a result. But on the question of the bomb, I know you've spent a lot of time in the Middle East, and there may minute or two we have with you, give us your appraisal of how the prospect of a possibly imminent success on the part of this mullahocracy that treats its women and, by the way, everybody else very badly and is unlikely to treat its others much better, how that prospect is shaping attitudes in the Middle East and the prospects, perhaps, of war.
Well, I think, and I'm not sure if that's going to be a surprising statement or not, but I think that we just have just about consensus in the Middle East. And I think that consensus stresses from Iran throughout the Middle East, with the exception of a few countries, that this issue of nuclear Iran is the most immediate and imminent threat and something that needs to be dealt with. I'm going to start with that just because it's important to note that this is not about the West versus Iran. Iranians themselves are not in agreement with their leadership, and it became evidently clear, certainly since the election that took place on June 12th last year. I think I can also mention a number of other things and phenomena that has sort of escaped the our own media, and that is that a number of ayatollahs, fairly senior clerics, people like Ayatollah Javadi Amoli, who was a Friday prayer leader in Qom, who basically announced his resignation because of his frustration with the lack of listening in the part of the Supreme Leader. Ayatollah Ustadi, who also protested the way the Iranian religious leadership is running the country. And this is, of course, above and beyond the opposition inside Iran.
Important signs, in other words, of a fracturing within the government there, the regime itself, as well as, obviously, the alienation of its people from the regime. Nir, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it at that. We will be watching this space closely, as I know you will be, and for your insights, both with respect to how the Iranian government treats its own people and what it may have in mind for the rest of us. We prize your contributions and look forward to having you back on Secure Freedom Radio in the very near future. In the meantime, we will be turning next to Daniel Bloomberg of the Alliance Defense Fund, who will be talking to us about another very important prospect that our own religious leaders in the military will be unable to do their job. Stay tuned.
First line of defense in the war of ideas, Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant, Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Gold, 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 everywhere you turn, radio, TV, all the headlines. For over a decade, I've done my best to explain why gold is the best asset for you to own. Prices may double or triple again. Gold rises every time public confidence in government and the paper dollar falls. Well, here we are. Unless the government stops burying us in debt, gold prices could continue to rise higher and higher. So do yourself a favor. I use Swiss America, and I suggest you call them too. You need professional advice. You need to trust the folks you buy your gold from, and you can trust Swiss America. I do.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Ask for my rare opportunity DVD, Gold IRA Kit, all free.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do with it...
You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid, he should have...
He should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk, but it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined for segment 4 by Daniel Blumberg of the marvelous Alliance Defense Fund, an organization that is committed to protecting our civil liberties, especially those that are under threat from the left, including the American Civil Liberties Union and the like. Daniel has done some very important research on a topic that we've addressed a lot here at Secure Freedom Radio, but that requires a lot more discussion both in Washington and around the country, namely the implications for our national security and specifically for the military that is such a vital part of providing for our national security, of imposing upon the armed forces the social experimentation associated with the radical homosexual agenda. And Daniel's research in particular has delved into a matter that I think is fascinating and very illuminating in a kind of microcosmic way of this larger problem. Namely, what is likely to be the challenge to members of the military's chaplain corps as they seek to square the requirements of their faiths with the zero tolerance policy that is expected to be demanded by the homosexual activists, that is to say, that there can be no quibbling, no challenging, no waffling even on the matter that homosexuality must be accepted in every sense of the word by the military and, frankly, more generally. So with that as background, I'm delighted to welcome Daniel Blumberg to Secure Freedom Radio to help us understand what the fruits of your research have been. Welcome, Daniel.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on. I think you've done an excellent job introducing it. Basically, what we've discovered in working through the issue and working with numerous, over 40 retired military chaplains who have served in the highest levels of the chaplaincy, have served for decades, centuries, combined centuries of experience, to let us know that basically we're going to be looking at something of a perfect storm. We're going to see exactly the kind of effects that we see in the rest of civil society, where when you normalize homosexuality and you give it special protections under law, religious liberty becomes a target, a very quick target and easy target to attack with these laws to try to force the normalization of homosexual behavior on all of society. But the reason why it's going to be a perfect storm is it's going to be worse than we've seen elsewhere. You know, we've seen nationwide situations where churches lose their tax-exempt status, where Christian counselors are fired from their jobs, where Christian businesses are penalized by government institutions, all in the name of non-discrimination statutes. Mm-hmm. We're going to see it worse in the military because, as you identified, there is a zero-tolerance policy for dissent. You know, the military has a strong need to protect its mission, its goal of fighting and winning wars, and so it has to keep a very tight rein on policy matters, and so it does not give room for dissent on issues of this nature. And so what we'll end up seeing is military chaplains being unable to do their jobs and protect the free exercise rights of soldiers, because instead they're going to be required to preach a new, neutered, and politically correct gospel that falls in line with this policy.
Yeah. Really profoundly troubling. As you say, it has implications for the larger society, and I want to come back to that in a moment, Daniel Blumberg, but let me just dwell on this issue of what the chaplains are going to be subjected to. There is a story, as you know, in the front page of the Washington Post on Sunday that I think was a fairly transparent effort to suggest that the repeal of the current statute that prohibits avowed homosexuals from serving in the United States military is now essentially all but accomplished. And one of the folks quoted in this is a brigadier general retired by the name of Douglas Lee, who left the military in 2008. And he's clearly wrestling with what it might mean for somebody who finds his faith precluding him from doing what his military is demanding of him. And yet they had a colonel by the name of David Moran, who is apparently doing chaplain training for the Army today, quoted as saying as follows, "We realize that as chaplains we have to be sensitive to our audience and the context in which we are speaking. Chaplains have always been prudent enough to manage this." Daniel Blumberg of the Alliance Defense Fund, is that likely to be a way in which the circle can be squared, that chaplains will be able to render unto God what they believe God requires and unto the military what it requires?
Not if the military normalizes homosexuality, no. There's certainly going to be no way because, you know what, while Colonel Moran, I respect his service, I respect the work he's doing, I'm not trying to diminish his comments, but unfortunately, our experience is when these kinds of issues, when these kinds of laws are created, they are litigation-rich fodder. Mm-hmm. And they create an environment where we see lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit that attacks religious liberty and tries to diminish it. And General Lee was correct. General Lee was one of over 40 other chaplains who signed a letter, and two of those chaplains held the same position that Colonel Moran holds now, which was the the commandant of the Army chaplaincy school. And they said, listen, you're going to have chaplains who aren't going to be able to counsel based on their faith. You're going to have chaplains who aren't going to be able to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. You have chaplains who aren't going to be able to participate in programs like the Army Strong Bonds program, which exists to protect military marriages. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen in that particular instance, for example, is the Army, you know, works hard to protect its soldiers' marriages because they just go through extreme pressure cooker type situations.
Yeah.
And so they have this program that's administered solely by the chaplains to protect those marriages. When homosexuality becomes normalized in the military, if it does, then the homosexual couples are going to want to participate in this program. And if they're allowed to, then chaplains, like Chaplain Lee, won't be able to participate because they would be required to facilitate and encourage a type of behavior, a type of relationship that they think is harmful and immoral.
Yeah.
They couldn't do that. If they did that, they're facilitating something they think is wrong. It'd be a violation of their beliefs.
Yeah, and if they don't, they will almost certainly be censured by the military, which is the kind of
Absolutely. Very
difficult circumstance. We're going to see, I'm afraid, and this is why this is such a microcosm, we're going to see the military more generally placed in. Let me just, in the remaining minute or so we have with you, Daniel Blumberg, the question that occurs here is this homosexual agenda being really run against the military as kind of a battering ram for imposing it on the society more broadly?
That's exactly correct. This is the first step in accomplishing a large series of goals. Speaker of the House Pelosi has been very open and honest about that. He said, hey, listen, we want to grease the skids with Don't Ask, Don't Tell so that we can get the Employment Non-Discrimination Act passed, which is effectively will do the same thing for the civilian world what's going to do for the military. And that's not the end game. The end game, the one that activists have their sights set on, is normalizing homosexual marriage for the entire nation. And the repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act. And the ACLU said that very blatantly just recently. They said, don't ask, don't tell is step one. DOMA is step two. That's what we want. That's what we want to win. That's the game. That's the game here. And they want to go through the military because the military is a vanguard of our cultural values. If they can change the military values, then it's easier to change society values.
Yeah. Daniel, we're going to have to leave it at that. We talked the other day with Bob Knight of the Coral Ridge Ministries, and he mentioned David Horowitz saying this was part of the left's agenda for a long time. We're going to be visiting more about all of that with you, I hope, in the near future. Thank you for the great work of the Alliance Defense Fund. Check it out at alliancedefensefund.org. Daniel Blumberg, we appreciate your service, and we'll be talking to you again soon. In the meantime, that's it for this installment of Secure Freedom Radio. I hope it's been edifying to you, and that you'll be back for more tomorrow. Same time, same station. That's why we're here. We hope you will be, too. Until then, for all of us, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, brought to you by SwissAmerica.com.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR. And it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.